Our next presentation is entitled Multi-Year Effects of Foliar and Granular Nitrogen Fertilizers on Creeping Bentgrass Tissue and Soil Nutrient Concentrations. Presenting is Miyuan Xiao.
Okay, thank you very much for the introduction. Good morning, everybody. Today, I'll be talking about some of the work that was conducted as part of my master thesis. In the industry nowadays, different types and forms of fertilizers have been widely used by golf course superintendents. Especially, more and more golf courses tend to use foliar fertilizers along on the putting greens with the purpose of getting a better uniformity, a quicker response for turf grass color and quality, and this spoon-feeding method can also be budget-effective. However, there were limiting studies and data on the multi-year effects of both granular and foliar fertilizers in combination or alone on turf grass tissue and soil nutrient concentrations. So this brings us to the multi-year effects, the multi-year study of determining the effects of foliar and granular nitrogen fertilizers on creeping bentgrass tissue and soil nutrient concentrations. And also, the second objective is to validate fertilizer recommendations based on soil and tissue tests. So material and methods. In this study, we are looking at two factors. The first is root zone. We have three root zones and established with A4 creeping bentgrass in 2007. A USGA sand-based 80-20, 80% sand, 20% peat, and 80-10-10, which is 80% sand, 10% peat, and 10% soil, and the native soil, which in Michigan is sandy clay loam. And another factor is fertilizer treatment. So we have a total of 9 different fertilizer treatments. A non-treated control, for sure, with no fertilizer application at all throughout the years. And we have 5 granular fertilizers, well, which are natural organic, methylene urea, urea, urea plus phosphorus recommendations, and urea plus potassium recommendations. All of the granulars were applied once a month at a rate of 24.4 kilograms M per hectare from May through October. And we also included 2 foliar along applications at the 2 rates, which were applied every 2 weeks at a rate of 6.1 and 12.2 kilograms M per hectare from May to October. Note that the 6.1 rate foliar is actually the recommended rate and were labeled for products. We doubled that rate just for the purpose of getting the same total amount N with other granular fertilizer applications. And we also have a combination of foliar and granular, in which foliar was applied every 2 weeks at a rate of 6.1, and the granular was applied once a month at a rate of 12.2 kilograms M per hectare. So all of the fertilizer treatments receive a total annual N of 146.4 kilograms per hectare, except for the lower rate foliar, which receives 73.2 kilograms per hectare, and all of the treatments were started in 2009. So in this presentation, I'll be focusing on 2 groups of fertilizer treatments. One is the different nitrogen carriers, which includes the natural organic, methylene urea, urea, foliar, and the combination. And the second group is the foliar along treatments at the 2 rates with a control. So the experimental design for this study is a randomized complete block design, and the treatment design is a split plot with root zone as the whole plot and fertilizer treatment as the split plot. And all of the treatments were replicated for 3 times in this study. We collected a lot of data in the 3 years. So basically, we take tissue and soil samples on the same day in June and October for macro and micronutrients analysis. And we also did turf grass color, quality, and chlorophyll ratings weekly throughout the growing season. So for color and quality, we we do a visual rating on the scale of 1 to 9. And for chlorophyll, we use a spectrum color meter, which will give us a NDVI number indicating the chlorophyll content in the turf grass tissue. And we also measured burrow distance and its foot trafficking in the summertime, and rated disease occurrence and worm casting occurrence, as well as pollen invasion when the symptoms present. But for time constraints in this presentation, I'll be focusing on tissue tests for macronutrients values and results from soil tests for NPK values. So before I move on to results, one thing to remember is that I don't have any interactions between root zone and fertilizer treatments in the data I'm presenting today. So first, let's take a look at the first group that is different nitrogen carriers effects on nutrient tissue. The fertilizer treatment effects on tissue NPK values. As you can see in both graphs, the x-axis, this is the same with this one, the x-axis is different nitrogen carriers, and the y-axis is the tissue nutrient contents by percentage. So we are looking at the October's data in 2009 and 2010. The green line, the blue line is nitrogen, green is potassium, and red is phosphorus. As you can see, in 2009, methylene urea treatments had the highest tissue nitrogen value than other fertilizer treatments. And in 2010, urea treatment had the highest tissue nitrogen than other treatments. And for phosphorus and potassium, we didn't see any significant differences among fertilizer treatments. But overall, we can see that in both years, fertilized treatments have significantly higher NPK tissue values than the untreated control in both years. And then let's take a look at the fertilizer treatment effects on tissue calcium and magnesium in 2009 and 2010. Again, on both graphs, the x-axis are different nitrogen carriers, and the y-axis is the tissue nutrient value by percentage. And the blue line is calcium and red is magnesium. As you can see, in 2009, methylene urea treatment had the lowest calcium and magnesium value in tissue tests. And in 2010, the urea treatment had the lowest value in tissue calcium and magnesium. And overall, you can see that the untreated control had significantly higher tissue calcium and magnesium values than other fertilized treatments. And it becomes interesting if you add tissue nitrogen data into these graphs. The green line is we just added is the tissue nitrogen. In both graphs, we are seeing an opposite trend between tissue nitrogen and calcium and magnesium. For example, the graph on the right, the urea treatment had the highest tissue nitrogen value. However, it resulted in the lowest calcium and magnesium value in tissue test in 2010. And overall, in both graphs, we can see that the relationship between nitrogen and calcium and magnesium are pretty consistent and similar. So from the graphs above, we can summarize that fertilized treatments have higher tissue NPK values, but lower tissue calcium and magnesium levels than the untreated control. So what's the theory behind this? We looked back on some literature, and there were articles reporting the relation between nitrogen and calcium and magnesium. But the nitrogen they were talking about is soil nitrogen. Because calcium is immobile, so the plant need to have a steady flow of calcium from soil to tissue. But this flow can be interrupted by certain conditions, including the excessive soil nitrogen and excessive soil potassium. But if you look back into this graph, you can see the data we are reporting here is tissue nitrogen. And when we also look back on our soil nitrogen data, but we don't see any significant differences among fertilizer treatments in either in soil nitrogen and potassium. So right here is actually unclear what's the relation between tissue nitrogen and tissue calcium and magnesium, but this is a very interesting phenomenon we observed in both years. And then let's move on to the root zone effect on NPK values in October 2009. On both graphs, the x-axis are three different root zones, and the y-axis on the left in soil test is soil nutrients value by parts per million, and on the right in tissue test, is tissue nutrients by percentage. So in tissue test, we can see that the native soil profile has a significantly higher potassium value than USGA and 80-10-10 root zones, and USGA root zone had a significantly lower phosphorus value than 80-10-10 and native soil. However, these significant differences in soil tests did not reflect in tissue tests because we didn't see any significant differences in NPK values across root zones. Again, if we look at the same parameters in October 2010, we can see that the native soil still have the highest NPK values in soil tests than USGA and 80-10-10 root zones. However, in tissue tests, we're seeing that the native soil actually have the lowest NPK values than USGA and 80-10-10. And note that the tissue nitrogen and potassium value is actually under the sufficiency level of plants' needs, even though the soil tests tell us that there is abundance of nitrogen and potassium in the soil. And again, if we're looking at the parameters at a recent day in June 2011, we are also seeing the similar trends. That is, in soil tests, the native soil had the highest NPK values than USGA and 80-10-10. However, in tissue tests, the native soil had the lowest value in NPK in tissue tests, and also the nitrogen value is below the sufficiency level of plant's needs. So from the graphs above, we can conclude that we can summarize that higher soil NPK values did not result in higher tissue NPK values. So the take-home message here is that soil testing for NPK values is overestimating for NPK needs of plant's needs for NPK or NPK nutrient concentration. So soil testing for nitrogen, potassium, and magnesium is not predicting the right amounts of plant needs. And lastly, let's take a look at the foliar alone applications at the two rates and their effects on root zones. In our protocol for this study, we hypothesized that foliar application alone would gradually decrease root zone soil nutrients over time. But if we look at the results, foliar treatment effect on soil tests, we can see on this graph the x-axis are the days we are taking soil samples, and the y-axis is the soil nutrient by parts per million. For all of the NPK values, we didn't see any significant decrease in this foliar treatment from October 2009 and June 2011. And again, if we're looking at the double rate foliar, even though we see a drop of potassium during the time, but still we don't see any significant decrease in all of the NPK values from 2009 to 2011. And if we look at the untreated control, we even didn't see any decrease, any significant decrease for the untreated control treatment from 2009 to 2011. So based on those graphs, we can summarize that foliar applications alone and the untreated control did not significantly decrease soil NPK levels. So wrap up all the summaries, we can conclude that fertilizer treatments have higher tissue NPK values but lower tissue calcium and magnesium values than the untreated control. And secondly, higher soil NPK values did not result in higher tissue NPK values. And lastly, foliar applications alone and untreated control did not significantly decrease soil NPK values through June 2011. With that, I'd like to thank our founding agency, my advisors, and everybody who helped with this study at Michigan State University. So at this point, I'm glad to take any questions if you may have.
Actually, we're going to have to hold questions until the discussion section, so stick around for that. But thank you very much, Mi.
Thank you.